It's time for Declare Your Independence with Ernest Hancock.
Believe me when I say we have a difficult time ahead of us. But if we are to be prepared for it, we must first shed our fear of it. I stand here without fear because I remember. I remember that I am here not because of the path that lies before me, but because of the path that lies behind me. I remember that for 100 years we have fought these machines. And after a century of war, I remember that which matters most. We are still here! Tonight, let us make them remember. We are not afraid!
Yeah, welcome back to Declare Your Independence with me, Ernest Hancock. I got Paymon Montehede. And am I saying that? You know, Paymon, you got to help me out with your last name, man.
Paymon Montehede, Ernie, but everybody just calls me Paymon.
Paymon. Now, Paymon, I've known Paymon for, oh, man, it's coming up on a decade. Now, Paymon has been to Freedom Summits promoting his Freedom Law events, and he has another one coming up here this weekend. It goes Friday through Monday, at least part of Monday, right?
That is correct.
Now, what we're going to be talking about today, we'll go in a little bit of the history of Paymon and what he's trying to do and so on. But let's take a look at his event real quick here first. Let's see. February 18th to 21st, Friday, Saturday, Sunday, and Monday. It's on Ontario, California. It's where is Ontario, California anyway?
It's about half hour east of downtown Los Angeles.
Okay, so east of Los Angeles, we have it at the Hilton Ontario Airport Hotel. It's they got room rates down to $79, so that's cool. At the $79 at the Hilton, heck, I just go there, say you were with them, just get a vacation. So you can go there, and we have a lot of speakers. Now, a lot of these guys you probably recognize. We have Richard Mack, Michael Badnarik, Catherine Bleich is going to be giving a speech on the mechanics of a police state. Joe Bannister, a lot of people know him as the ex-IRS agent. We have another Steve Hempling is talking about IRS fraud. And Tommy Cryer, Adam Kokesh, yeah, that'll bring the house down. Stuart Rhodes from Oath Keepers. We have Bill Stowe, William Rodriguez, last man out in 9/11, the World Trade Centers, Victor Thorne. So you got, you know, a lot of the people that we're familiar with. What's the main theme, Paymon? What are we trying to accomplish?
The main theme is freedom for us. We want to live America, the land of the free, home of the brave. Ernie, when I came to America in 1977 from Iran at the age of 14, that's what I was told, that America is land of the free, home of the brave. But as I got educated in university, learned about economics, found out, wait a minute, we're not a free country like we're supposed to be. We have a fascist socialist system where the big banks and corporations own the politicians, and there's some tidbits of socialist welfare for the people to make them feel good, you know, and we got to get it back to the Constitution founding fathers and have a small, limited government that basically gets back to protecting our lives, liberty, property, and that's it. And everybody be free, basically.
Okay, now, Paymon, I warn you, man, and you know me, I'm going to be like, you know, Constitution's Constitution, man. If it didn't stop, if it didn't cause what happened, it sure as heck didn't prevent it. So I'm kind of, you know, I'm becoming more and more anarchist every day. But I want to get back, you know, just so that my anarchist friends out there aren't slitting their wrists or anything. But I want to make sure that as we go on, we learn where you came to do what you're doing and from what motivation. Now, of course, you know, the same kind of thing I went through. You go through junior high and they tell you what America is and you get into life and you go, oh, that's their propaganda machine back in junior high, you know. So how is it that you started to, because I know you've been doing these for at least a decade or so. How long have you been doing them?
Well, I started Freedom Law School back in 1996 and these conferences since 1999.
Okay, so now tell me, how is it that you came to start doing these?
Well, I attended a Free Enterprise Society conference like mine in 1994, where I had about 10 different great speakers. They had about all these different freedom issues. I was so excited and jazzed that, you know, there's more than just me and a few other people interested in freedom. And I thought, man, it'd be wonderful if we have these things that were going on in the San Francisco Bay Area in Southern California. So a few years later, in 1999, I started having them down in L.A. area, and we've done it every year since then, at least once, if not more.
And are you always Southern California, or have you gone around the country?
I've done it in Texas one time in Atlanta, one time in East Virginia, you know, but unfortunately, none of those have been as successful as the ones that we do in Southern California, where we're better known, and we have a lot more people that know us.
How often do you do them?
I've done it usually once a year, but I try to do a second one, again, in Southern California in October time, and that didn't work out. Tax season seems to be the thing that gets people out there. When people, you know, want to, you know, are tired, sick and tired of this taxation that's going on out there without real representation out there, and then they come out to hear what's really going on out there, and we want to be out there telling them what's happening out around them in America.
Okay, now this is what I want to go over and pick your brain a little bit. You have been doing this for a long time, about the same time we started the Freedom Summit. It's kind of a little bit different mentality, and we've paralleled and we've supported each other, and we've, you know, certainly have a lot of overlapping friends and speakers and all kinds of stuff, so we're kind of on the same path. But there's where we diverge kind of is in this way. You're advocating that, you know, a better use or an honoring of what the promise was with the Constitution, and we'd be better off. We've been kind of the argument that going, hey, man, any government's going to eventually turn bad, and this one's bad, 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 bad. So I'm wondering, in the people that go to your functions, which I would imagine would be at least as many or more than the Freedom Summits, because people are, they're really looking for a fix at arm's length, like out there. I mean, I want something out there, you know, I want something, somebody to fix something for me. I want a machine that works better. I want, you know, they aren't ready to be turning to themselves yet. That's coming, but you know, they're just kind of, you know, so I'm wondering, over the past decade and a half or so that you've been doing this, have you seen a change in the mentality, the age, the tolerance for our own government? Give me the evolution from your perspective.
Well, you mean as far as how government is acting or how the people are?
No, how the people are perceiving the government, or that they are even a solution, or should they even try and fix it?
Well, what I've seen since I've been involved in this freedom movement since early 1990s is that when the economy is relatively good, people don't care, you know, they don't want to listen, hear about this stuff. But now, for the last few years that this Great Depression has started, people are losing their homes, their jobs, their pay is being cut, you know, people are, you know, being foreclosed upon. Now people are interested and they want to hear, they want to talk about these things. We've been talking about the Federal Reserve, privately owned, that the banks make money out of thin air by fraud, legalized counterfeiting. You know, all this stuff, they're more interested. So I think we have a chance of really making a big progress for freedom in these bad times, because that's when people seem to care. Sad but true.
Well, care about what? Care about, you know, whether they got to pay taxes or not, or care about, you know, some deeper issues? What do you think it is they're looking for by going to the Freedom Conferences?
Well, care more about, besides watching football, baseball, basketball, and soap opera, entertainment. I mean, what's going on with our government? I mean, these guys affect our lives. They hurt people. You know, the government has the power and does hurt all of us at different degrees at different times. People need to know and get these thieves off of their backs. So if they ignored, oh, man, I'm not interested, they don't want to hear about it. You know, well, guess what? When something happens to you next year, don't complain to me that what the government did to you or this Great Depression hurt you, because I try to educate you about this stuff. You don't want to listen.
When we come back here, they're going to push a button on us, Payman. When we come back, Payman's going to give us even more information about what it is that they're sharing, the information you'll get by going to the Freedom Conference, Freedom Law School's 2011, this Friday through Monday in Ontario, California. We'll be right back.
Freedom's the answer. What's the question? You're listening to Ernest Hancock.
Don't stop me now. I'm having such a good time. I'm having a ball. Don't stop me now. If you want to have a good time, just give me a call.
Welcome back to Declare Your Independence with me, Ernest Hancock, here in Phoenix, Arizona, from the beautiful studios of Freedoms with an S. FreedomsPhoenix.com. We have Paymon on from Freedom Law School's 2011 Freedom Conference, and you've been having this. This is which one? I mean, this is probably what, your 10th or more?
Oh, these are 14th.
Back away from the microphone. 15th. Back away from the microphone, man. You're overmodulating.
I think it's our 14th or 15th conference.
Okay, 14th, 15th conference, and has the theme always been the same, or has it changed?
Well, the theme is always about freedom. And sometimes we add some more justice to it. Sometimes we have more health into it or peace. Sometimes we have more on certain issues like 9/11. But it's always freedom is the foundation of it. And then we talk about the different issues that are more hot during that time, like 9/11. You know, a few years ago we had quite a bit on 9/11, but not as much now.
It, you know what, tell me, you know, you have people that would come to your event, you know, interested in freedom-oriented issues and such, and you're talking about 9/11, and I would imagine a lot of your attendees are probably lean what, you know, Republican, Libertarian, Democrat, conservative, patriots. I'm kind of getting the impression that your event draws more kind of more of the patriot crowd.
Yeah, more of a patriot, a Republican, Libertarian. Constitution is kind of a combination. The average age probably of attendees is about 55 years old. But I think with internet, and because internet is now the way to get the information out there, and radio programs like yours, we're starting to get more younger people getting interested in stuff again. Kind of like a Ron Paul revolution. A lot of it is on internet. And we're starting to get a little bit more young people interested in this stuff now.
Well, what was the people's view on 9/11? I mean, that was kind of gutsy. Not everybody was willing to do that, you know? I mean, we've had that issue at the Freedom Summit. You're doing that. Not everybody's willing to do that and appeal to this still, you know, 50, 55, 60-plus oriented patriot America, wear the flag, Pledge of Allegiance kind of crowd. What was their response to it?
Well, our audience loves this information. The kind of people that come to our conferences want to know the truth. They want to know if there's a government corruption that's happening out there, what it is. They want to be informed. They're not going to keep their head in the sand and react as if everything's okay because they know things are not okay. So we got the kind of a truth-seeking crowd. You know, our conferences that we do and yours are similar in many ways. We just tend to go a little bit more, I think, hardcore on exposing a government corruption that, you know, some people call it conspiracy theory, but these are conspiracy facts. I mean, the banks were bailed out for over $700 billion. The Federal Reserve did, you know, lend out trillions of dollars to central banks of other countries and their own banks in America, their friends. I mean, you know, these are facts, but, you know, the major media doesn't want to talk about these things because it makes them, you know, look bad for not doing their job and expose the masters of them, the big banks and corporations. So we go pretty hardcore explaining things that few other venues are willing to put out there.
Well, you're focusing a lot. You know, I'm not doing the sound of a video of the IRS coming out saying how they're going to answer all of the evasions in their minds of the IRS tax law. Do you remember what he said?
Who said that now?
Let me take a look here. It's IRS commissioner avoids the question, what makes us liable for the income tax?
Oh, yes.
And I remember this. You have the clip here up on your site. Do you remember what his answer was?
His answer was a non-answer. His answer was that, well, I was grew up and taxing was a patriotic part of being American, he felt. That's kind of a nonsense. He never showed the law that requires the average person to follow up the income tax.
Well, I remember, you know, the big response was something like, we're going to answer it with enforcement, which, you know, came down to, we got guns, we win.
That's right.
You know, so I'm looking at this. A lot of the things that you're doing is through the tax fight. You know, the IRS thing. It's a lot of people motivated. It sure as heck does my wife. You know, I mean, she's never more libertarian than when it comes to filling out tax forms. And I'm going, she goes, I'm done, Ernie. I'm done. I don't want to do it anymore. And it's not that I think you should. It's just, you know, since we're so poor anyway, it didn't really affect us that much. But the thing is that I'm going, you know, it's not the battle I want to fight right now, because we have a lot of contributors and money that comes in, so on, and we need to keep on keeping on, and I have other battles. But I'll tell you, it's not that I'm not sympathetic to this IRS thing. I'm much more sympathetic to the entire foundation and structure that the IRS is even supporting. You take that, the entire structure away, you don't have anything for the IRS to fund, you know? So I'm looking at the IRS seems to be a common theme in your conferences. So tell me about, you know, the successes or challenges you've had from that. How's that issue going?
Well, it's going very well for Freedom Law School. If you go to our website, Ernie, at livefreenow.org, under the victory section of our website on the top right, you see a lot of actual victories where we stopped and removed liens and levies that illegally IRS put on people. We've had cases $300,000 plus down to zero, $500,000 case down to zero. You know, we have many successes against them. And, you know, we're about the whole big picture of the freedom also. It's just that I found that the IRS factor is what affects everybody out there. I'm interested in stopping police abuse of power, in this trafficking of nonsense, the code violation going out there, the Patriot Act, Homeland Security, TSA, all these areas of freedom I'm interested in. But I found out the average person doesn't really care too much about trafficking, or they don't really, you know, care about police brutality until it happens to them. But the IRS factor, just about everybody either files or don't file. Either way, they could mess with you. So it's a good theme, I found, Ernie, to bring people interested in all the other issues that otherwise they may not be interested in.
Okay. You know, so it's kind of a strategy, you know.
It's an absolute strategy. It's because, you know, I've been a libertarian for over 20 years. I mean, I became a Libertarian Party member as soon as I became a U.S. citizen back in 1989, and that's where I was first for a few years before I even heard about the income tax issue in 1992. But when I heard about it, I thought, wait a minute. As a libertarian, I don't think there should be a tax. But you're telling me that according to the Constitution, according to Supreme Court decisions 9 years ago, that there should be no income tax? The person who told me all this, I said, yes, you come to my seminar for $40, I will prove it to you with the law. Not philosophy, not opinion, but the law. I said, you're wrong, lady, because I'm there philosophically. I want to see the law. And when she showed me the law about all this, I said, my gosh, the American people only if they knew.
Well, you know, I think they're knowing, but you know, the bad guys just keep doing it. Because they can. Well, helping make sure that they can't, at least you know about what they shouldn't be doing, is Payman, president of the Freedom Law School. That's livefreenow.org. They have a conference this weekend, Ontario, California. Thanks, Payman.
There are those that just want to be left alone, and those that just won't leave them alone. Which one are you? The Ernest Hancock Show.
Welcome back to Declare Your Independence. I'm Ernest Hancock here in Phoenix, Arizona. Hey, you know my voice starting to come back. Yay. All I got to do is stop talking for a little while, but I never do, you know. This is what's going on this week. Over the weekend, I got the first translation Friday evening or Saturday morning for the Arabic version of the Philosophy of Liberty. Now, because Arabic is a script language and it is from right to left instead of left to right, and some other, you know, what font do you use in bold? I mean, how the heck do I know? I mean, it might as well just be, you know, my granddaughter scribbling with a crayon. So we sent it out to some people, and they came back with, the font's a little bit too bold. The timing needs to be, you know, emphasize you're on to something before you kind of understand that, you know, slow down the, you know, whatever. So we're still working on that. They're having another version done today, and we'll, you know, keep doing this thing, and we're getting ready. I just got contacted by Cato, and they're going to make the translations in Arabic of the Declaration of Independence, Constitution, and Bill of Rights available. So we're working on that. We'll be ordering. They'll be sending those out today. Now, here's the question, and I already know the answer, but, you know, just so you know. Imagine you're in Cairo, and you get these books that have on one side of the page, it's Arabic, Declaration of Independence, the other side, English. Okay, cool, you know, better do it that way than not. But as you're reading the Declaration of Independence, you're going, oh, yeah, baby, yeah, this applies. Bill of Rights, yeah, that's cool, that's cool. Constitution, you know, I spit on your Constitution. And the biggest reason is I'm worried about it is because I'm trying to instill a framework for a government on another culture that may not work that way. I mean, it may simply not work that way. I mean, even the phraseology and the way it's structured and different, you know, just heck, even the court system. You know, I mean, just no. In addition to that, it is this country under that system that is responsible for a whole bunch of their woes. And we're going to say, we want you to be just like us. So I'm not comfortable with that. So once I purchase these, guess whose they become? Mine. They're mine, 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 mine. And I can do whatever I want to with them. Let me tell you what I'm going to do. As you have the card, I mean, you know, this is a book. It'd be about this big. It's green, you know, and it has an Arabic on the front, and then you open it up, and it does whatever. The pages, I'll take the covers and bend them back, keep the Bill of Rights and the Declaration of Independence back here, Constitution part. We'll put it on our cutting machine, and I'll probably cut it at an angle like this, letting them know that it's in there. You know, we this was in there, and the people that sent this to them, you know, we didn't want to impose the Constitution on them. Maybe even put a little note in there or whatever, story, get out why we did that. Just, you know, cut that part out. Maybe cut it, you know, to where we keep the headlines in there and cut it this way so that the top, you know, we the people is up there or something like that. The reason is make a deliberate act to let them know that we're not endorsing or instilling a infrastructure of government for them, making it very clear. Declaration of Independence was way before the Constitution. Bill of Rights was the deal they made with the libertarians of the day to keep from being a freaking civil war over the Constitution, putting us on a plantation kind of thing. This is what they had to have to keep another revolution from happening. So by doing, you know, I just say you got the Declaration of Independence, the Bill of Rights, and in between, it's like a bologna sandwich. You know what I mean? So we do that, fine, then we'll make use of it. But sending over the Constitution of a country that's oppressing them or part of, and the tear gas can says made in, the USA, I'm not comfortable with that. I'm not comfortable with that at all. Also, Jordan Page's great album. We've been listening to it and everything, having a good time. We'll use it for a lot of stuff with Freedom's Phoenix and as, you know, kind of a favor for donations and different. We'll get it out there. We already got those. But sending them out with a bunch of, well, it has American flags in it, but a lot of it is the peace flag with the stripes vertically. And they're not going to know the difference there. But and on the back, it has a picture, big, you know, nice little picture of, says Holy Bible on it. That may just be antagonistic too. So it's, you know, it's have some, you know, sensitivity. I'm not trying to instill the Constitution, and I'm sure as heck not trying to, you know, throw Christianity down the throats of a lot of Arabics that may be atheists. I mean, you know, so I'm being sensitive that way because what's the real goal? The goal, how many minds can we free? The Philosophy of Liberty, if you haven't seen that, you need to go watch it again. Just put The Philosophy of Liberty in your web browser and it'll blow up all over the place. And it's in a lot of different languages. It just wasn't in languages, but it wasn't in Arabic. So we're working on that now. So we've already got back But, you know, I don't speak Arabic. And a lot of these guys, you know, just enough to be able to get it out there. You need somebody that's fluent, several people. So we have our friends from Minaret.org. Dean Ahmad is a good libertarian that speaks Arabic. He came back saying that the font was too thick. You know, it was harder to read. It's a script language, you know, the font was too bold. So we're working on this. We're near being done. I've been complaining to, you know, I will get just with a few minutes of effort from various individuals making an effort to find some contacts online in different places to get access to the Roots of the Grapevine in the Facebook and Twitters of Arabic-speaking countries. Well, they do fine, but the big organizations, they're always, we got to have a meeting to determine what Blue Ribbon panel is going to make up the committee to set a schedule for us having a vote. I mean, you know, I'm like, are you freaking kidding me? You know, so I heck with them. You know, I'm done with that. So we're going, but we all want to give them an opportunity. You know, I say, hey, man, you guys can play. But that's how they play, and, you know, world marches on a lot faster. So what we're doing is we're getting these together. What we have done is part of the background, we're always working, developing Freedom's Phoenix. One of the things is I've hired a pair of Uber computer geeks that for the past month have been, if you're on Facebook or on our Twitter and all that kind of stuff, you've been getting a lot more stuff. You're like, whoa, man, it's like a Memorex commercial. So we're just organized, getting all our friends. All of a sudden, boom, we got a couple of thousand, you know, Twitter friends and Facebookies and all that kind of stuff that if you try to communicate me with Facebook on my Facebook account, well, you might get response. And then again, you might not. Publisher@freedomsphoenix.com is the best way to get a hold of me. Now, my daughter and producer, Sierra, she takes a look at my Facebook, and, you know, she'll respond to stuff or forward things to me that she thinks that are directly sent to me. So these guys have created an Arabic translated version of Facebook and Twitter for this Phoenix to Cairo, Phoenix to Sphinx, you know, however project we call it, is being set up right now. It was done this weekend. So as soon as we get the final version authorized of the Philosophy of Liberty, oh, we're going to get all kinds of stupid. And this is, now, that's what we're going to be talking about top of the hour of my next guest. Mubarak's gone. Big freaking deal. And there's word now that he's in a coma. Of course he is. After giving his speech, he went into a coma. He had a heart attack. He had a, you know, whatever, you know. I'm not going to let these guys with their billions of dollars that they, you know, he's worth billions, tens of billions of dollars. Heck, we gave $60 billion to him. You think he didn't put some in his pocket? So they, you know, are doing okay, especially if they bought gold. So if they've been buying even a little bit of gold over these last 30 years, they're doing okay. So they see him as a liability. If he's not in power to do what they want, and he's out there with money and all this knowledge and everything, do you think they're going? And he, I bet you he probably knew it. They had to give him all kinds of promises and assurances. No, we wouldn't kill you. No, no, no. You'll die of natural causes, you know. So that's going on, and I'm afraid we got John Perkins. You know, we got Sybil Edmonds on tomorrow, too. You know, I'm going to tell you in the next segment all the people we got coming up this week just to give us the real truth about what is next in Egypt. And it's not what CNN, Fox, MSNBC, and company are telling you is going to happen. It's what always happens. We'll talk about it when we come back.
And now, live from the studios of Freedom's Phoenix, Ernest Hancock.
Oh, I'm sneaking me some candy. Yeah, that's right. You go. Soretta's is a local candy manufacturer in Glendale, Arizona here. And if you don't buy them by the box, yeah, you big heart-shaped and everything, wherever you take a piece of candy, not only do you never know what you're going to get, you know, you leave a nice big hole that your sweetheart goes, hey, yo, you've been scarfing, you know, but if you get them a bag and you get all kinds of goodies and everything, you can just pick at it and get what you want. Well, I get me some marshmallow kind of praline, you know, pecan caramels. I love Valentine's Day because I get candy. Well, we went today, did that, and we were getting cards and so on. As I'm coming in, I find out that my daughter-in-law's mother, Carol, is in the hospital, and she's not doing well at all. She's been a diabetic for a long time, and she's a baby nurse. She helped deliver both of my grandchildren, and she's, because of her poor circulation and so on, she had did something to her toe. She had bumped it and broke it or something, and it was bothering her for a day or two. And then she got cellulitis, which is, I guess, an infection. And all of a sudden, her whole foot swelled up while she's at work at the hospital. And she had to walk over to emergency rooms like, hey, you know, what up? Within a day or two, they amputated her big toe. Gave her a lot of antibiotics and so on. And then she was having bad circulation. It wasn't helping her foot. So they put a stent in the blood vessels in her leg. And that improved that. And now then her blood sugar went up over 700 and something. And it's supposed to be down in the low hundreds or whatever. And she takes medication. Well, they keep messing around with her at the hospital. You know, I'll tell you this. I got to say this on the record. She was in the hospital for 10 days. They didn't change her sheets once. This is a nurse in a hospital. And, of course, they're going to have a big, giant, humongous bill. They're going to have whatever and those kind of stuff. But I'm going, and he didn't get, all of a sudden, they weren't taking care of her. They weren't checking anything. All of a sudden, her blood sugar shoots up. They check it. Oh, my goodness, it's over 700. How are you even conscious? So they, you know, put her in ICU and they start playing. You know, we spent, our family, between all of us, we spent a lot of time down there over the last week or two. And I'm going, you know, this healthcare system is so sucky. Now we could do better ourselves. And I remember, if you see on my arm here, you'll see like a graph. You know, I have a different color. I was burned really bad in 94. The gas thing. I was working on my car. Long story. But we went and I got good care. You know, I didn't have a problem with that. But what happened was, is we could not leave the hospital. And the bill, you know, the operation, everything under $10,000. Done. Get out. All the money that racked up to like $60,000 bill was because they would not allow us to have morphine outside the hospital or the IV penicillin. Because when you get burned, you're really susceptible to infection, so on. You need have a antibiotic drip. So, you know, the pain I could deal with. And we're like, yeah, well, you know, we'll kind of do. I mean, that sucks, and it's a pain in the butt, and you got to go in a saline salt bath and kind of let the bandage and stuff kind of float off, and then you rewrap, and it's a pain in the butt. I mean, you look like raw bacon. But so I'm going, you know, this is we can do this. We want to keep the bill down. Well, we had libertarian friends that done fundraisers. They do like a USO show, the old big band, trombones and saxophones and everything. We had done different functions, and they're going, yeah, we're going to do fundraisers. They're going to do fundraisers. And all of this, we just need to get out of the hospital. Can't. Because we could not take the IV penicillin, you're going to die because you can't take penicillin at home. Die. Done. Got to be here. Rack up the bill. So from that experience and with, you know, friends and family and parents, and I have never had anything good to say about a health care system except for the technology. But when you have all this technology, what do? Well, it's only through the doctor-funded kind of co-op consortium of in the building approved by kind of crap. You know, you never just, you know, go on Craigslist, who's got an MRI machine, let's go check it out. I mean, heck no, because they're protecting the industry. When you have one of their own, a baby nurse, no less, in there in 10 days without changing the sheets, blood sugar goes over 700, if that's even freaking possible. I mean, their meters, their little test things only went to 500. They go, it's 500 plus. So they were like, what the heck? They had to go to the lab and find out how, you know, I'm like, and she's conscious. Of course, she's, you know, been diabetic for, I guess she's usually just starts mumbling, blah, 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 blah. You know, so now it's starting to see your kidneys are starting to fail. Now she's in the ICU. This morning, she's talking to my daughter-in-law about where the wills are. Now, the will's over here, and papers over there, and insurance, kind of, you know, paying bills, and it's starting to get serious. So our family, it's Valentine's Day, so we're going down after the show, and she can be all our Valentine. So it'll be, as we find out what's going on, and she's in bad health, been diabetic, but she's working right up until her infection. So I'm just, you know, it's things like this that have so many people in such a opposition to government regulation and licensing that it brings to mind the story of Red October. Now, Red October, the movie with Sean Connery, is about a super high-tech quiet submarine that he defects to bring to the U.S. because he knows it's a first-strike vehicle and he doesn't want to, you know, blah, blah, blah. Well, it's one of these Tom Clancy books, and I read the book back in the day when I used to have time to read. And the Hunt for Red October, the Sean Connery character, it starts before he actually, you know, gets on the submarine and comes here. And where it started was, in the Soviet Union, his wife was sick, and she needed antibiotic, was all she needed to be cured. It was, you know, give her some penicillin, problem solved. Because of the Soviet system, because of the central plan, because of we're going to, you know, we'll make whatever we need for 5 year kind of we think and kind of whatever the heck system that they thought they had, some bureaucrats could plan how much penicillin should be made. There was a shortage and there was nothing they could do. They couldn't find any antibiotics anywhere during that short time when it made a difference, a day or two. His wife died for lack of quality health care in a Soviet system. And he's one of the high end guys. That is what turned him in the book. In the book, he's going, look, this system doesn't work. You know, if my wife's dying from simple lack of antibiotics, I mean, you know, we got some issues. And it goes way back. So questioned everything. The Soviet Union building a first strike machine with the Red October, was the name of the submarine, is because of the anniversary of the revolution or whatever. For them to have a first strike vehicle go and kill an economy that is providing medicine for their people, you know, as messed up as that is, you know, here. But that's why he decided, no, I'm not supporting the system anymore, to the point of being the submarine commander of the most advanced vehicle underwater on the planet and the big giant Uber, we're going to kick butt. He turns it over to the United States. Don't ever think that there aren't human beings like that everywhere, all over the planet, for exactly the same types of reasons. There are loved ones and people close to you that die because of licensing and regulation and limited access and expense and anything that serves somebody else other than the people it's supposed to. And do not ever think that that's not going to play in the decisions that are coming. In fact, that's exactly what's going on throughout the Middle East. Exactly. Their lives, their standard of living, their very capacity to keep breathing in and out is affected by government. So I'm going in a positive way or negative way. In every experience that they have, negative. Well, that's what's happening here too. And it starts hitting close to our family. We're a little bit more sensitive to these things and what happens and the quality of and why and expense because, you know, you just get older, you start having, I'll give you a good example. Young activists here, Andrew and Gwen, you know, lovely people, very good friends of ours, you know, that we often have them, you know, over just to hang out, watch movies. Now, Gwen, she's probably in her early 20s, she's probably 24, I think, and she has diabetes. It is so expensive and it doesn't get covered. You have to buy it. It's so expensive that they live for her to live. Can you imagine that? Live for her to be able to live. That's what they do to be able to purchase this medicine that should be very cheap. But it's not. Why? We'll talk about Egypt when we come back with my guest, Lisa Hajar, here in just a little bit. She's a professor in California. We'll be right back.
Uncovering the secrets and exposing the lies. That's what Readers of Freedom's Phoenix.com get every day. Readers of Freedom's Phoenix.com are constantly provided the information that detail the real news between the lines of propaganda about government policies and the true relationship we all have with coercive governments. Learn the true condition of our economy, innovations and technological breakthroughs in energy, health, computer science, and space travel. Learn the truth well before it's admitted to in the lamestream media, the media that is so last century. Corporate media has evolved into nothing more than distributors of government propaganda, but we now have a fantastic alternative. FreedomsPhoenix.com provides constant news updates on the issues that affect our lives in the most important ways. Our liberty and our property are under constant attack, and FreedomsPhoenix.com provides the understanding behind the propaganda while encouraging the participation of our readers. Join us at FreedomsPhoenix.com. That's Freedoms with an S, Phoenix.com. FreedomsPhoenix.com, where the revolution between the ears has already matured.